You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth from relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to Change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
Good evening, good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? I am excited as I always am. Man, I got some stuff that I want to go over tonight, so let's go ahead and pray. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We just worship you and just thank you from the bottom of our hearts about just having so much joy on the inside that you place within us, and it's up to us to activate that joy. And I just thank you in advance for everything that you purpose to do tonight in ministry as you allow me to be the catalyst for that. I thank you that I bind distractions, I bind come against sleep that will hinder people from receiving the word doing ministry. Now, after ministry, then they can go sleep all they want. And I just want to thank you in advance that my tongue is the pen of a ready writer, and I only say and do the things that you have me say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm still teaching on the warrior within, and I'm really excited about that. And so we talked about, I have been talking about my weapons that have never failed, and I'm just talking from a personal experience. If you have weapons that don't fail based off you operating in the things of God, then you use those weapons. But don't use weapons that have never been tested and never been tried, that you don't know whether they work or not. So that's just not a good idea. So I've been talking about, we've already covered worship, prayer, his name. And last Sunday, we were talking about his word, how to use his word in our lives. And I had planned on going to his thoughts. And then I realized that I needed to give more examples of how that process works. And so as a result of that, I'm staying in this area for tonight. Okay. And guys, I want you to be real enough. Well, how do they say it, Chef?
No cap.
No cap. Tonight, as we look at areas, you get to determine. I'm going to give you the formula and you use it to process those challenges in real time. Fair enough? That means it's not after time, it's real time. So I'm still talking about his word, but I'm going to give you the formula that I use. Okay? And let's start out with the scripture. Examples of using the word. Matthew chapter 8, verse 7 through 9, and that's New Living Translation. I got to slow down. I'm just so excited. I just got to slow down. Slow down, Paul. Slow down. See how I told myself what to do? Tell my mind what to think and my body what to do. So just slow down. So in verse 7, it says, Jesus said, and this was the centurion that came to Jesus and wanted, and his servant was paralyzed and he wanted his servant healed. So he came to Jesus and he approached Jesus and asked him about healing his servant. And Jesus says, I will come and heal him. And the servant said, but the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my house. And so Jesus said the word from where he was. This is what the centurion told Jesus. He said, just speak the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. So the centurion, being an officer, understood words because he went on to tell Jesus about how if I say to my servant, go, he goes. If I say to him to come and he comes. And so he understood the word, the authority that was behind the word, his word, to cause officers or cause servants to do what he says. So he tells Jesus, he said, it's not necessary for you to come to my house. Just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. So it goes on to say in verse 13, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. And I just want to go into that little piece where it says, where Jesus is saying, because you believed it has happened, not going to happen, has already happened. So when we confess God's word or we speak boldly God's word or we decree God's word, the moment we speak it, that's the moment when it happened in the spirit realm. And then it must come down to the natural realm. Okay? So you don't have to be a certain place to speak the word and see it manifest. Wherever you are and whatever you're praying about, time, distance has no bearing on the outcome. Your faith does. Okay? So I want you to write this down because this is going to be the catalyst of everywhere I go today. It's not what happens to you, but how you respond to it. And I want to look at Joseph as a perfect example of that. But also, if we looked at Christ, Christ is hanging on the cross, committed no sin, did nothing wrong. But he knew what he was going to encounter. But when he talked to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, is there another way? But in an instant of time, he said within the same sentence, not my will, but your will be done. So the Bible goes on to say that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So instead of running from the cross, he endured the cross. But while he was hanging there, he was thinking about Paul. I mean, was he thinking about you?
Yes.
Because he died for us all to become believers. So his ability to go through all the pain and the suffering was because he focused on us. So it's not what happens to you, but how you respond to it. And guys, I can't say that enough. You know, one of the first things that took place in the Bible was when God told Adam, you can eat of everything that's here except that tree. And so of course, Eve was standing near him because they were together. But what happened was Eve processed something totally different. And she listened to Satan, the serpent. And what ended up happening was she handed it to her husband, and he ate it. That's the first example of codependency in the Bible. Because Adam did what pleased her, Eve, instead of what God had told him to do. So codependency is one of the biggest challenges that the world face, not just Americans, the world face. Because what happens is you are thinking you are responsible for someone's happiness instead of them recognizing that they are responsible for their own happiness. Because you can give somebody a brand new car, and if it's the wrong color, then the person say, well, I don't like the color. Okay? So what happens from that? The parent who gave them the car takes the car back? No. The person who gave them the car drives off with the car. I'm just saying that was fleshly. But I'm just saying someone can come, or your spouse or your loved one or your children can have a challenging day. And what they do is they come in and they are moping. So codependency said it's my fault. I'm responsible for changing how they feel. Where in reality, they are responsible for changing how they feel. But let me keep going. So catch that. It's not what happens to you, but how you respond to it. Now, Joseph, let's take for example Joseph. It was obvious that Joseph's dad favored him. And guys, you can read this in your own time, but it was obvious because he gave him the coat of many colors. And then his brothers, and one of the things that Joseph did that was not smart was he told his brothers about his dream and about the fact that they were going to bow down to him. His mindset was, hey, these are my brothers, so they love me. Guys, you have to understand that not everybody, even if they love you, are excited about you moving forward. Because when you move forward, that reflects on them where they are. And some people don't want to see that. Some people don't, they want you to stay where you are so that they can stay, have excuse for staying where they are. So Joseph told his brothers, hey, look, you know, you guys are going to bow down to me. And so they said, hey, we're going on a trip. Won't you come with us? Now I'm paraphrasing a lot of this. Okay. I'm going on a trip. You come on with us. So what they decided to do was, hey, let's get rid of this guy. And what we'll do is, we'll say certain things that he was killed and so forth and so on. But they decided to sell him. So they sold Joseph. Now, these are multiple things that happened with this young guy. So they sold him. And then when whoever bought him went to another place, they sold him for even more money. Okay? So he spent years in slavery. He was approached. Once he got into the palace, he was approached by the king's wife. She grabbing on him and he runs. And he says, no, I'm not going to do this because I am a servant to the king and I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to dishonor my God. And so then he went into a deeper part of prison because you don't mess with the king's wife. So he's thrown into a deeper place. Then there's a man there that, now I'm giving you all the examples when I said it's not what happens to you, it's how you process it or how you respond to it. So now he's there in the prison and, you know, hey, some guys hanging out. They had gangs in the Bible too. And the guys hanging out. And this one guy asked him, you know, about this dream. And so Joseph is able to give the man the version of the dream and what it really meant. And the guy said, look, I tell you what, when I get out of here, I'm going to tell the king about you. So Joseph said, make sure you do that. So what did the guy do? He forgot to tell the king. Okay. So Joseph's still in prison. So how does he process that? How does he process? So then over time, he's finally brought out of the prison and then he's promoted into the king's house. He starts to share his skills and talents. Over time, the king places him like second in command. Let's just say like vice president. And so he's able to see ahead of time that there's problems coming to Egypt. And so he's telling the king about it. And so the king says, okay, do what you need to do. So it gets to a place where the famine comes, but because of the king following what Joseph said, they were able to be prepared for it and not even being flinched by it. Okay. So then Joseph's family, who put him in slavery, who went home and lied to the dad, all of a sudden they needed food. So they come to Egypt and they don't know that Joseph is the king there. So now, what could Joseph have done? He sees his brothers. He recognized them. Put in the chat section what you would have done. Now, you have all this power. You're second in command. Would you throw him in prison? Would you have the heads cut off? What I say, we're going to be real tonight. Okay? What would you have done? So he makes sure that they have, you know, were able to get the food that they came looking for, but he put some extra in there. And then they still didn't recognize him, though. But eventually he tells them, look, they still don't know who he is. And they have to come back again, but they have to bring a specific person with them. So when the brothers came the second time, he exposed himself to them. But after exposing himself fleshly, would you have done the punishment to them then? Because now they know who you are. Because what good would it have been to hurt them if they don't even know who you are? Okay. All right. What are they being honest?
Yes.
Okay.
Nicole said.
Nicole, what did Nicole say?
She cussed them all out.
Cussed them all out.
And then have all their family exiled.
Okay. Cussed them out and have their family exiled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tamika says beat them up.
Okay.
Megan said turn her back on them.
Turn her back.
Wayne said off the prison.
Off the prison. Okay.
And Nicole says then make a coat of many colors that looked better to them than the first one, and that would really make them mad.
Okay, all right, okay, y'all deep thinkers, man. All right, so now I'm giving you the formula, steps in using the word. Number one is choose, and I'm going to explain this. I'm going to go by scripture. I want to make sure you get an understanding. Number one is choose. Okay, number two, I'm just naming them right now. Number two is no. Are you choosing life or death? No. Number two is no. Know what scripture you're going to use to be victorious over this situation. Number three, believe. Once you know the scripture, so knowing is knowledge, believing is acting. That means I'm doing something with what I know because I believe it. I'm acting on it. Then you're going to speak what you believe. Then you're going to do what you have spoken. And then you're going to stand. After having done all, that means everything that I could do, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand, resting in the fact that God has already provided what I stood for, what I've done, the choice that I make, the word that I believe, the speaking of that word, the acting, the doing, whatever part that you believe there's a part you need to do. And then I'm standing, meaning I'm resting in what he has promised. Okay? So write the scripture. Now, I know some people don't like scriptures and they want you to use one and that's it. But this is serious enough where I want you to be grounded in how this process is done. And so I found scriptures when the Holy Spirit gave it to me. So I want to pass on to you what he gave to me. So under choose, you put Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And I'm not trying to rush through this. I'm going to take you there. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So remember, I said number one is choosing. So I'm choosing life. And as I take you through the process, I'm gonna call all these out first and then I'm gonna take you through real life examples of things that I thought of or I have encountered. So number one is what?
Choose.
Number two is no. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, and this is in the Amplified Bible, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, and that's on us, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge, and of the reverential and obedience fear of the Lord. Okay? So in that, you have rest based off your what you know. You have wisdom and understanding, so you will understand the inside workings of the decision that you have to make. You will have counsel. That means you will literally be a counselor. You will be counseled by the Holy Spirit in the midst of this. You'll have strength, and that's the ability to stand firm in what you're about to share. You'll have knowledge. That's the accumulation of facts. But the thing that's holding these things together is the reverential and obedience fear of the Lord. So when the Lord tells you something, you obey it. Okay? That's number two. Which one is that?
No.
Number three, and that's believe. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And this is the New Living Translation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So if I believe that he is directing my path, I believe that he's giving me understanding, then my job is to have that trust in my heart that God knows more than I do. Because after all, he created me, so he knows all there is to know about me. But he's directing my path by me, listening to him, and getting insight from him. All right, so what's this one?
Believe.
Number four is speak. And this is Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12 in the Amplify. And it says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious and win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. Okay, so the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious and win him favor. Guys, are you ready for this? When you win favor, you win their ability to hear what you're saying. So by going through these steps, what you're doing is you're putting a person in a mindset where they can hear what you're saying. They might not choose to do it at the moment, but if they are so angry and you are so angry, who's listening? But as long as you have, you can say things in the right tone, in the right time, you can have influence. Now, I'm not saying influence like you're trying to trick somebody. I'm talking about influence so that they can at least hear, leave the conversation, and start to process what they heard. Now, I've had people tell me, you know, we got one guy, I'm not going to say his name, but he always talk about, Pastor, I'm mad at you. Y'all know who I'm talking about. But for those who are watching all over the universe, all over the world, you don't know. But he'll tell you in a heartbeat, Pastor, I'm mad at you. And then after I thought about it and I listened to that, and I thought about what you said, then you are right with me. Okay? But I want to add this Proverbs 21:23 in the Amplified. And it says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards himself from trouble. So you see what I'm saying is when you're yelling and screaming at somebody, they're not listening. So when you speak, you got to speak with that mindset that is gracious. Now, I'm not saying you water down what you say. I'm just saying you say it in such a way where a person would want to listen, even if they don't agree. And I always, you know, in some of these, I'll tell you what I'm telling myself as I'm talking. But one of the things I always try to do is I try to talk to somebody the way I would want to be spoken to. Okay? All right? Number five, and it says do. Anybody got any questions? I know I'm going
kind
of fast.
No.
Okay. All right. So number five is do, and that's James 1:22 in the Amplified. It says, but prove yourself doers of the word. Check this word out. Actively and continually obeying God's precepts. So that's not a sometime thing. That's a continuation. And not merely listening, who heard the word, but failed to internalize its meaning. So he's saying, that we can hear a lot of word, but if we don't internalize it, that means to make it a part of who you are. But it goes, it said in the beginning, but prove yourself doers of the word actively and continually obeying God's precepts. So when we get to the point where we're going to do something, that's us making sure that we're listening, understanding, interpreting, and doing exactly what he says. If he says, don't talk to them today about this, they're tired, they're sleeping, they had a challenging day. So doing the precepts is making sure that I wait until he says, now is a good time. Okay, number six. Oh, in the Message Bible, their translation says, act on what you heard. So don't act on what you heard until he tells us now is the time. And the last one is stand. I got 10 minutes, okay? Stand. That's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger. And having done everything that the crisis demands to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, check this out, guys, fully prepared, unmovable, and virtuous, victorious. Let me read that part again. And having done everything that the crisis demands, stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, and victorious. You get what it says. So we need to make sure when we stand, we have already done 1 through 5. And we can stand because we have done the process by which God is going to do what he does. Okay? All right. So in number one, this is my quick version of what I'm saying to myself. Number one, where it says choose, I ask myself, how can I choose life in this situation? I'm getting ready to talk to someone. Or someone is wanting to talk to me and they don't look happy. And I'm asking myself, these are the thoughts that I'm thinking. So I'm self-talking. And I'm saying to myself, how can I choose life in this situation? Now, I'm asking these questions when I can. 99.9% of the time, I'm asking them out loud, muttering underneath my breath. So how can I choose life in this situation? Because when I ask the Holy Spirit, he answers. Number two, under no, I say, what word can I use in this situation? Because I want to make sure that I'm using the scripture. Now, the scripture can be told or worded in such a way a person might not even know that they're scripture. For example, this is a scripture. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. If someone asks me something, I'm choosing life, and I need to say no in that situation, I say, no, that won't work. Now, the scripture says that let your yes be yes and your no, no, because any other words will come from sin. So that no has to be as close to no as possible. But what word can I use? So if I have a word that I can use, then I'm asking, how can I choose life in this situation? And I hear some of you guys thinking, well, he said no. No, what's the best answer for this situation? You don't have to say yes to everything. No, what's the best answer for this situation? Because I said, how can I choose life? And life for this situation was the answer, no. Now, for number three, believe. I'm about to approach someone and I'm about to talk to someone about something. And so the scripture that I believe was, remember the scripture says, about the log in your eye, make sure you take the log out of your eye, and because they might have a splinter in theirs. Which one is longer? I don't care how many times you cut the log up, the log is still going to be bigger than the splinter. So number three, what I believe was, have I examined myself and taken the log out of my eye? Because I'm getting ready to approach a person, and I want to make sure I'm not doing the same thing that they were doing. And I don't have something else in my life that's so big that I haven't seen it. Okay. Number four, this is speak. Speak the truth, but watch your tone. Uh-oh. So that means you can't do the neck rolling. How many of you guys do neck rolling when y'all get really angry? Y'all talk to me. Michelle already confessed. She said, I do. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the neck rolling, right? You know, how you roll your neck and
yeah.
Okay. So y'all know what I'm talking about. So speak the truth, but watch your tone. Because, see, you can say truth with a tone, and they're so busy listening to the tone that they don't hear your truth. So you make sure that it's in a nice place. Number five, do. Now, remember, number five is act. Following through on the decision that you made. Remember, in number one, you chose life. But in order to do, you have to follow through with the decision that you made. So you might say, you know, I'm really going to talk to this person today. And you know you need to talk to them because you hadn't been able to sleep. You've been having dreams about them and all that type of thing. So you know you need to address the situation. So that do in number five is follow through. And don't make excuses for not following through. Okay? And number six, where it says stand, that's where I finish and I rest in what took place. And remember what I said, I rest in what took place. Because I know that if I did it in these steps, there's nothing to repent of. I can rest because I listened to what I chose life. I asked about what words should I use. I examined myself before I spoke to them. And then I followed through on the decision. So I can rest in the fact that it's done from my end. Fair enough? Anybody got any questions? Did they say anything about the neck?
No.
They didn't answer the neck. So, this being said, I will pick up on it on Sunday. And I want to go over. So if you have some challenges that you want to text in to Michelle, but I'm going to look at, I need to address a situation. So that's going to be a lot of that going on. My wife and I had a disagreement. Okay, so I'm going to take you through the process. I asked Michelle, what's a word that people use when they're angry? And I'm in agreement with what Michelle just shared with me. I want to talk about I am pissed. Okay? That's a real word. You're not just angry. You're in past anger. So I'm just telling you in advance what's going to take place on Sunday. I know people say don't do that, but I'm just telling you. So if you choose to come, I'm excited to have you there. If you choose not to and you think you got all this down, then that's on you. See? I'm choosing life. See how I just did? I gave you a choice, and I already told you where I stood. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just worship you. We praise you. We just thank you for tonight. We thank you for clarity. And I thank you in advance that when your word is spoken, it goes to the core of who we are. And it causes us to reflect. But it also causes us to rest at the fact that we need to call on you to help us go and grow. Because you called us as to grow. You never planted or spoke life to something that didn't grow. And that's how you called us to be. And we just thank you. We just speak peace to everybody. We speak a good night's sleep that everybody will wake up refreshed and renewed. And we just call this done. And I see you on Sunday in Jesus' name, 10 a.m.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com. or call at 866-333-9505.